Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about Art Kleiner being back on the show. Art's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the editor-in-chief of the quarterly magazine that I'm a happy subscriber to, Strategy and Business. He is the author of The Age of Heretics, which is an outstanding book that I've enjoyed because I consider myself to be among the ranks of heretics. And you know what a heretic is. It's a true believer who doesn't like the status quo, somebody who doesn't mind sticking his or her finger in the eye of the stuffy folks. And Art's one of those kind of guys, too. Art Kleiner, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. It's terrific to be back.
Good to have you back. Art, the subtitle of your book talks about radical thinkers.
Right.
And I was, before you got here, I was telling the audience you were coming, and I was just saying the small business owners don't have to be radical thinkers. I think it's okay to be a radical thinker, but if you're not comfortable being out there on the edge, and there is a danger being, you know, first to market with a new idea. Sometimes the guy who sees the first guy implode or explode, you know, picks up the pieces and makes it better. But if you're not comfortable being a radical thinker, you at least need to keep the radical thinkers in sight. So you can sort of take what's happening with them, and a lot of times it's big companies, sometimes it's not. But when you're keeping those radical thinkers in sight, you can apply their, you know, even if you don't agree with everything they're saying, you can say, wait a minute, I don't like that, but I think he's onto something over here. And I think that's what it's going to take in the second decade of the 21st century for success. What do you think?
Well, I think for small business people in particular, there's a real need to see what's relevant to you and what's not in the realm of ideas. For instance, a lot of small business people right now are, you know, basing their models on the fact that they need to raise a lot of capital.
Right.
Because that was how so many businesses got started, especially in the dot-com era. And in fields like pharma and components and things like that, it's still true. But the amount of money that it takes now to create an enterprise which is based at all on services that are backed up by computers, the cost of entry has dropped dramatically.
Right. Because of the cloud and all the applications therein.
The cloud, the applications, the standardization. I think I just read that, the perennial problem of having different charger standards for different brands of mobile phones.
Yeah, they've come up with one. They call it the micro, I think.
And to the extent that that happens, you know, it's like having clear regulations. The cost of entry drops, and then you have another problem, which is how do you distinguish yourself from all of the potential competitors out there? And do you wait for luck to strike, or do you?
If everything's standardized, how do you look different? How do you differentiate?
Exactly, but that is a much better problem to have than how do I raise, you know, $20 million.
Yeah, to create something, to build something that's really already been built that you could already pull off the shelf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, so then that's an idea that's going to be hard for business people to let go of in some places. A really good example of an idea that has been prominent in industry is the idea that bigger is better in consumer products.
Mm-hmm.
One of the partners in the firm I work for, Stefan Lauster, has done, and Paul Einwand and Cesare Minardi, who published a book on coherence called The Essential Advantage, did some research where they looked at the success of companies and mapped it against their size. And it turns out that there isn't that much correlation. In fact, there's no correlation. So, for example, a company like
let's make sure I understand. There's no correlation between size and success.
There's no correlation between scale and success.
Scale and success, yeah.
Sometimes there is. There are definite advantages to scale.
Well, of course, now, success is, you know, I one of the things I've done quite a bit in over the years, Art, is talk about how people define success.
Right.
Small business owners have a lot of different ways of defining success. For some people, success might be just being able to go to my son's ball games.
Right.
Go ahead.
And here we're just talking about, you know, sort of revenue growth.
Right.
And return on investment. I mean, you know, very standard measures of success. Shareholder return and, mm-hmm. and revenue growth. And the, you know, there are companies that make great use of scale. And there are also some very small companies that have tremendous revenue growth and tremendous revenues compared to expenses and tremendous shareholder return that are not that big.
And this is a lesson, Art, that small business owners, every small business owner has to learn. And that is something, the way I say it very simply, I think this is what you're talking about. It's not what you make, it's what you keep.
Well, it's a lot of it is who you are and how you make it.
Yeah.
It's what. Yeah, but yes, in the end, it's what you keep, and then what you do with it.
The top line is important, but that's not what you can't spend the top line. You can only spend the
correct.
Bottom line. Right.
Well, if you're like me, all too often you can spend the top line, but
that's when you get into trouble. So
yeah, not for long.
Yeah. So all right, quickly wrap this idea up for us.
Well. So there's a reasonable question. If it isn't scale that matters, is there some factor that all of the companies that do well share? And we think there is, and it's coherence. It's the ability of a company's strategy and its capabilities, the things it does great, to all mesh together.
Coherence. You know, that's not a word that you hear a lot around small businesses, coherence.
No, because it means shutting ourselves out of some opportunities, and who knows which opportunities are going to really play out. So the real trick is to be both adaptable, agile, you know, be able to take advantage of things, but also know who you are and know what your limitations are. If you're a great basketball player, you know, don't go out for...
Well, small business owners have to understand when to stick to their knitting.
Yes.
We have to do that, but I think what you're saying is to be coherent. And in the next segment we're going to talk about this concept of coherence more. Sounds like you're saying it's making lots of decisions, but making them small enough that you can change without taking the company down. You can make a mistake without taking the company down.
It's partly that, and it's partly knowing what you can do well and what you can't do well.
As Inspector Callahan said in the Dirty Harry movie. A man's got to know his limitations, or a woman. 20 after, right back with Art Kleiner. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.